There we go. All right. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good? Kind of? Meh. Well, my heart's beating fast because I had to run up here. We are glad that you're with us this morning. Glad you could join us for worship. Yes, I'm wearing a baseball jersey. Yes, it goes with the sermon. Yes, everything up here goes with the sermon. So plan to be here 9 innings. But we are grateful that you're with us, whether you're in your car, in the sanctuary, online, or in the gym with us. But this morning, hopefully we can just connect with God and hear through music and through the sermon, just the things that he wants us to hear. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue to worship with music. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and all the many blessings you've given us. We thank you, God, that we can come into your house this morning and worship you. God, we thank you for forgiveness that's found in the cross. And we thank you, God, just for your love for us, regardless of how we may act sometimes. God, be with those who aren't here with us this morning. Be with them wherever they are. Help us to seek you in this time. We love you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Seems like everything's going super fast this morning. Or maybe I'm just mentally going super slow, which is very well a good possibility. Oh, stupid phone. There we go. All right. Got to put the clock in front of me or we really could be here a long time. So you're probably wondering why an email went out yesterday, why there was a post on Facebook, why there's all this baseball stuff up here. And to be honest, I just wanted to set the mood, set the tone, you know, a little mood lighting kind of thing. But today's sermon is going to kind of revolve around some metaphors of baseball and how we can take scripture and use those things and kind of connect the dots. But really, it's just fun. I mean, let's start with this. Who likes baseball? Who doesn't like baseball? Who could care less? We got some of those too. All right, well, just for today, everyone at least pretends to love baseball as much as I do. So who can tell me when baseball was invented without Googling it on your phone? Nobody? So the best way to explain this, to let you know how long baseball's been around, is if you look at Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning. So the big inning, see that? Nah, I knew y'all would like that one. Now y'all are sitting there thinking, he's dumb. But in 1839, a guy by the name of Abner Doubleday in Cooperstown, New York, is said to have created the game of baseball. A baseball is made up of cork, rubber, yarn, and leather. So in my hand I have, what is this? A baseball. And what do you do with a baseball? You throw it. All right, who's ready? I don't know if that's safe. All right, what did they use for gloves in the beginning of baseball? Their hands. They didn't use anything. So imagine somebody getting up there with some form of bat and hitting a ball at you really hard and you having to stop it with your bare hands. Some of you are tough and like, I can do that any day. How many stitches are on a baseball? A bunch. Depends on if you're saying a single stitch or double stitch. So if you count the double stitches, there's 108. If you count single, there's 216. Or no, I said that backwards. I am really, really off today. Single stitches, there's 216. Double, there's 108. Every baseball has the same number of stitches. The circumference of the baseball has changed in size since the beginning of baseball. It hasn't always been this size. At one point, the standard size of a baseball was anywhere from 6 inches in circumference to 11 inches. So you have something about this big to something about the size of a softball. And anybody could choose which size they wanted. At one point, pitchers could make their own baseballs. They didn't have a standard until Spalding created kind of this set idea of what we look at today. But today, after 182 years of baseball, we have a circumference standard of 9 to 9 1/4 inches and a weight of 5 to 5 1/4 ounces. It has a cushioned cork with 3 layers of wool and a final layer of cotton polyester, and then it's sewn together with a leather cover. Who knew so much went into a little baseball? Now let's talk about the bases. How big are bases in baseball? There's 3 bases plus home, so there's 4 bases, but how big are they? Surely there's not a standard for the size of base, right? So originally the standard size was 12 by 12. So kind of like some of the tiles we might use in our home, a little 12 inch by 12 inch. Then it was changed to 15 by 15. And actually right now in the minor leagues, they are using an adjustment rule to where the bag is 18 by 18, hoping to increase successful steals. So apparently giving them 3 inches on each side of the base is gonna help them be that much more successful at stealing a base. But the real base I wanna talk about today isn't first, second, third, but it's home plate. In the beginning of baseball, the shape of home plate was, anybody guess? Round. And the standard was anything round could be used as home plate. Whether it was a circle cut out of cardboard, or whether it was your mom's good china from the house, which is where we get the nickname for home base as home plate. So anything round could work. Well then, let's make sure I get my dates right. About 1900, between 1900 and 1901, they decided, well, home base needs to match the rest of the other bases, and they changed it to the 12 by 12 square as well. But this time it couldn't just be made out of anything. It could be made out of stone or marble. Now, if you cut stone or marble in the shape of a 12 by 12 square, what kind of edges are you gonna have? Sharp. So you can imagine playing with that for, I think they only did that for about a year. How many people sliding in a home probably cut their leg open? So they thought, maybe we need to rethink this. Probably not the best idea. Then, again, I'm trying to get my dates. Then after the 1901 season comes what they call the irregular pentagon. The irregular pentagon looks a lot like this. It is 17 inches across the top, 8.5 inches down the side, and then 12 inches to the point. And if you've ever looked at home plate, if you've ever played baseball or softball, you know that the lines on the back are perpendicular. They meet at the point, but this is your third baseline and this is your first baseline. And so the plate sits nestled right in between the baselines. The original change from the circle to the square was so that umpires could see the strike zone better by having the corners. This even more defined the strike zone by having your straight lines down each side. And so now this is the home plate that we all use. Next question. The size of home plate in T-ball versus the size of home plate in Major League Baseball. Who can tell me the difference? They're exactly the same. So what that tells you is that at a young age, we're teaching kids to hit from the same size plate that people playing in Major League Baseball are. Now, the distance of bases is a little bit further in Major League than in T-ball, but the size of plate, the size of the strike zone width is the same. So we have one standard from wee little to people who get paid way too much money to play a game. Today we're going to start off looking at Romans 12, 1 through 2. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, while you're turning there, I want to share a story with you. This comes from an American Baseball Coach Association meeting from 1996. A guy by the name of Coach Skolinos was 78 years old and 5 years into retirement from a college coaching career that began in 1948. I assume he saw some rule changes. He shuffled to the stage and an impressive standing ovation started, wearing dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, and a string around his neck from which hung home plate, a full-sized, stark white home plate. After speaking for 25 minutes, he finally said, "You're probably wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck, or maybe you think I escaped from Camarillo State Hospital," he said, his voice growing irascible. "I laughed along with others, acknowledging the possibilities." Not me, but the guy writing the story. "No," he continued, "I may be old, but I'm not crazy. The reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I've learned in my life, what I've learned about home plate in my 78 years. Several hands went up when Skolinos asked how many Little League coaches were in the room. "Do you know how wide home plate is in Little League?" After a pause, someone offered 17 inches, more question than an answer. "That's right," he said. "How about in Babe Ruth League? Any Babe Ruth coaches?" Another long pause. 17 inches? Came a guess from another reluctant coach. "That's right," said Skolinos. "Now, how many high school coaches do we have in the room?" And he went on through high school, college, minor league, and major league. And finally, they caught the rhythm that in every league, home plate was the same. That was a shortened version of the story. 17 inches, he confirmed, his voice bellowing off the walls. "And what do they do with a big league pitcher who can't throw the ball over 17 inches? He paused. "They send him to Pocatello," which I had to look up what Pocatello was. It's just a minor league organization. So what it means is if you can't hit the plate, they send you down. Everybody laughed. What they don't do is this. They don't say, "That's okay, Jimmy. You can't hit a 17-inch target. We'll make it 18 inches or 19 inches. We'll make it 20 inches so you have a better chance of hitting the plate. If you can't hit that, you let us know so we can make it wider even still. Who knows, maybe even 25 inches. Coaches, what do we do when our best players show up late to practice, when our team rules forbid facial hair and a guy shows up unshaven? What if he gets caught drinking? Do we hold him accountable or do we change the rules to fit him? Do we widen home plate?" The chuckles gradually faded as 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the old coach's message began to unfold. He turned the plate upside down and he took out a Sharpie and he began to draw on home plate. This is what he drew. When he turned it toward the crowd, point up, it was a house, completely with freshly drawn door and two windows. This is the problem in our homes today. It's the problem with our marriages, with the way we parent our kids, with the way we discipline. We don't teach accountability to our kids, and there's no consequence for failing to meet the standards. Instead, we just widen the plate. And I want to take it a step further this morning and change it just a little bit. We do it in our churches too. We do it in our Christian homes. Oh, well, you know, that's not too bad, so we'll just fudge on that a little bit. And when we start to fudge on it a little bit, all we're doing is widening the plate, and we're not holding our family, we're not holding our church, we're not holding our fellow members of our church to the standard that was set. I think this happens because when we feel bad because we don't meet the target or the expectation or the standard, it's easier to change the standard than to adjust to the plate. It's easier to widen the plate if you're a pitcher so that you can get better strikes instead of trying to adjust your delivery. It's easier to widen the plate if the strike zone feels too small. But the reality is that because Jesus died on the cross, the standard was set. There is no widening the plate. And we have the rule book that we are to follow. When we look at the standards of what it means to live a Christian life, a lot of us initially get overwhelmed. Well, there's so much stuff in there. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. Well, the problem is you're looking at things that you're supposed to do. You're not looking at it from the perspective that God has created you in His image. And even though we're fallible and messed up, He sent His Son to forgive us. And even that was so that we could have a right relationship to Him, so that we could stand at the same size plate. It's like stepping into the batter's box and saying, I'll never be able to hit the ball. The Big Bambino, the Sultan of Swat, the Caliph of Clout, the Bam, the Babe, George Herman Ruth, Babe Ruth himself once said, never let the fear of striking out get in your way. And if we always approach God's word with fear that we're just not going to make it, then that fear is always going to be in the way, and it's going to keep us from even trying. We can't let the fear of not meeting the standard prevent us from trying to meet the standard. And when we can't meet the standard, we don't have the authority to change it. But so many people, believers, pastors, church elders, committee members, are trying their best to change the standards. And they're doing it just to meet their wants. Instead of adjusting to the standard that's been set before us, we're trying to make the standard fit us. Last week during Graduate Sunday, I preached on how we answer the question of who do we say that Jesus is? And how so many times in our lives, the perception of how we act and how we live is changing who we say that Jesus is. So this week, I want us to look at what are we doing with the standards of our faith that are laid out for us in God's word. So let's look at Romans 12, 1 through 2. I gave you plenty of time to get there, so I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Verse 1, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. When we read this passage in Romans, a lot of us get hung up on the idea that we're supposed to transform, we're supposed to change the way we think. And yes, that is a true statement. But we just think, oh, we just need to change to be like Jesus. Well, that's great. But what does that look like? We don't talk about the standard that He has set. We don't talk about the 17 inches across the front of the plate. We just talk about changing to meet the standard. We don't talk about what changes actually have to happen. The easy answer to this question is obviously we need to change to have a mind like Christ. But it's so much more than a simple answer. Because God has established the standard for us. Now in baseball, obviously rules can change. We've seen rules change the baseball. We've seen rules change the plate. Equipment has changed. Baseball bats have changed. I've got wooden bats up here. I've got the bat that Nealon uses. And they're not the same. If you look at Babe Ruth League, Little League, Pony League, all these other different leagues, there are different bat specifications that you have to have. Some say you can use only USSA bats. Pony League says you can use USA bats. Other leagues say swing for the fence, use whatever bat you want. But the plate stays the same. In baseball, rules can change, but when it comes to our faith and with Scripture, we can't change the rules. They're set. They're there. They're there for us. Revelation 22, it says, don't take away or change, you know, the words that have been read. When we start to change the standards, we start to change the message. Well, you can do this, but it's okay. As long as you've said a prayer and asked Jesus into your heart, you can do whatever you want to all week. Just make sure you're here Sunday and you pay your tithe. That's not the standard. The standard is that when you become a follower of Christ, you change the way you think, which changes the way you live. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that the old is dead and the new has come. We're not playing by old rules anymore. When we accept Christ, we are following under His authority, not the world's. And it's so much easier to try to take the world's authority, their rules, mix it with a little bit of Jesus' rules, and we feel really good about it because we can kind of do what we want, and we can go back and forth between both leagues. This passage in Romans is telling us that we have to transform the way we think to the standard that Christ has set for us. Douglas Moo says this in reference to this passage. By using the word body, Paul, of course, does not mean that we are to offer only our physical faculties. Body in Paul's teaching does not refer to a part of the human being, but to the whole person in relationship to the world. It includes our thoughts, our emotions, and our will. All are given over to God in His service, and verse 2 elaborates on how we can offer ourselves to God. We do it by avoiding the pattern of thinking and behaving characterized by this world and aligning ourselves with the values of the world to come, which is God's kingdom. But how do we take on board the values of the new age? Again, he's talking about God's kingdom, to which we belong. By renewing the mind. This is a key idea in Paul's conception of the Christian life. We can't think and use the same standards we used before Jesus and expect to have a holy life post-conversion. Those rules don't fit with the Christian life. You're trying to change the base size. See, we have to change the way we think to incorporate the values and standards set by Christ. Yes, we're fallen and fallible human beings, but the only way to incorporate the standards of Christ into our daily lives is to stop playing by the rules that the world has set up. Well, it's okay if you do this. Just don't do this. See, the world has taught us compromise. And yes, you know, to meet in the middle, in some instances, that's good. But the problem is we've started to apply it to our entire life and we've compromised what it means to live a fully committed life to Christ. It's widened the plate. Why? Because it's easier to pitch over 25 inches verses 17. When we start to live our lives based on the unchanging standard of Scripture, then we will change the way we think, which will change the way we live. To do this, you must start playing by the official league rules. When I started coaching Neyland's team this year, I haven't head coached ever, which is really great qualifications for a head coach. I didn't know all the Pony League rules, so what did I have to do? I bought the rule book and I started reading it so that I would know the rules, the standards of play that we are to abide by. Now, please don't misinterpret this metaphor and think that David's preaching some kind of check-off list that you have to follow through to be saved. I'm simply using this as a correlation between baseball and our Christian faith. Baseball uses the term rules. Let's use the word standards. When we fully have a changed life, a life-changing encounter with Christ, it will give us this desire to live the way he wants us to. And it's out of that desire that we go and we purchase a rule book. And we start to read the rule book and see how the rule book applies to our lives to make sure that we're not breaking the rules. Because if you break the rules in baseball, for instance, in Pony League, if somebody bats out of turn, that person is automatically out. If you stand in the baseline and someone's running to the base and you impede the runner, keeping them from getting to the base, they're automatically safe. Whether you caught the ball or not, you kept them from getting to the bag. When we truly have this life-changing encounter with Christ, the desires of our heart will change. Warren Wiersbe says this: the world wants to control your mind, but God wants to transform your mind. It describes a change from within. The world wants to control your mind, so it exerts pressure from the outside, from without. It tells you that this is the way you have to live. This is the standard of living that your family must be at. These are the things you must do to excel in the workplace. You're going to have to, you know, kiss a little rump to advance in the workplace. That's what the world tells us. It tells us to cheat and don't get caught. Well, it says to use this bat, but I can print out a cricket sticker thing at the house and put it on there and make it look like an official bat. No one will ever know. And that's the message that the world says is okay. But the Holy Spirit wants to transform your mind by releasing power from within. If the world controls your thinking, you are a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you are a transformer. In connection to the home plate metaphor, it sounds something like this. The world tells us to change the size of the plate to accommodate our abilities. God tells us to change our swing so that we can hit from any plate. Or if we're a pitcher, he tells us to change our delivery. Maybe you're a sidearm thrower and you keep throwing way outside. Maybe the thing is that you have to change your delivery to hit that 17-inch plate by learning to release over top. The plate doesn't change, but your delivery has to if you want to be successful. We cannot change the standards of God's word. What we can change is our commitment to it. We can change the way we allow outside influences to affect how we approach the rules. Well, it says this, but it doesn't quite say this. There's a little loophole. We can change how much effort we are putting into living according to the standards. We can change the way we think, which will change the way we live. Well, David, it's just too hard to change. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yes, you can. With the right little treat, I can make my 10-year-old dog do about anything I want him to. I'm helping coach the All-Star team this year, and yesterday, so it had to be a moment from God lining all this up. I had a kid who was using an unapproved Coach Gant swing, meaning I do not approve. Not that I wrote the rule book, but I just knew that his swing was so much slower than it could be. And the thing is he would line up, square up to the bat, everything was, or to the plate, everything was fine. But he would rest his bat back here on his shoulder. Now, to get the bat around, you then have to come up and then around. So you've got two steps instead of one. I told him, I said, just drop that front elbow a little bit and that'll pull your bat up. So he got in this stance. Next pitch, he hammered. It was foul, so his timing was a little off, but he put so much more effort because he got around on the ball so much quicker. Do you think he stayed with that swing? No joke. After he hit it hard, he looked at me and said, I'm just going to go back to the way I was swinging before. I said, why? He said, I like it better. I said, why? Because it's more comfortable? Yeah. Yo, that's what we're doing in our churches. You've got pastors, you've got Sunday school teachers, you've got Awana leaders who are helping you adjust your swing so you can get around to be more effective at the plate. And we look at them and go, I'm just going to put the bat back on my shoulder. We're changing the standards because it's more comfortable. I don't want to have to learn to keep my arm up the whole time. The next words out of his mouth were, that feels weird, I'm just going to hit the way I always have. I asked him if it worked, he said, kind of. I looked at him and said, not really. But he still wanted to go back to his old swing because it was comfortable. What do most people do when something gets too hard or feels impossible? They quit. Why? Because it's what? It's hard, but you quit because quitting is easier. Well, I can just show up on Sunday and be fine. I don't really need this. Why? Well, it challenges me to change my swing. It's uncomfortable. It's too hard. I have to change the way I'm living because that's God's word. How about we look at it like this? Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He started the game. He pioneered it. He perfected it. He came up with the perfect set of standards to make the game go as well as possible. And yeah, we're going to have times when we step into the box and strike out. We're going to have times if you're pitching that you hit the batter. Sometimes that's a little bit fun. I wanted to pitch when I was in Little League. They decided after I hit three people, it wasn't the best idea because they were teammates. It was practice. But it's so much easier just to quit. So here's my question. When faith gets hard, when living for Jesus gets hard, are you just going to quit? Are you going to try to say, you know what, that's not working. Maybe if I widen the plate a little bit, I can do a little bit better. Widening the plate gives us a false confidence. Yeah, you may be able to hit it, but you're not hitting the standard. Are you just going to quit swinging because you're afraid of striking out? In 1923, Babe Ruth struck out 93 times and walked 170. So that's 263 times he did not hit the ball. That same year, he also hit 41 home runs. In his career, he struck out 1,330 times, a record that stood for 30 years until another phenom of baseball named Mickey Mantle broke the strikeout record. You don't want to hold the strikeout record. You don't want to be known as the guy that struck out the most. But for 30 years, the guy that we talk about had the most power and was one of the best hitters held the record for missing the ball more than anybody else. He didn't change the rules. That just didn't work. I'm going to take my bat and I'm just going to go home. He didn't do that. He made adjustments. Yes, it's so much easier just to try to change the standards or even just walk away or even just to do whatever you want, just ask for forgiveness later. The idea is that Christ makes a change in us, and when we fall in love with him because of the work he did on the cross and the resurrection from the grave, which he did not out of obligation, because I'm pretty sure being, you know, the creator of the universe and all things, he could have been like, you know what? Maybe they have to hit 3 home runs in a single game and then they can have salvation. He could have changed that. He could have created a different way for us to find salvation and a right relationship with Christ, with him. But he didn't. Out of his love for every one of us in this room and everyone that has ever been, is, and will be, out of his love for them, he took the cross. The most humiliating way to be executed, he said, because I love them, I'll do that. He didn't change the rule. He didn't change the standard. He didn't change the fact that Scripture says, apart from the shedding of blood, there's no remission from sin. He didn't say, you know what, we need to change that, Dad. Maybe put 12 stones by a river and have them pray 16 times. Maybe that would work. No, the standard was set, and he said, all right, I'll step to the plate. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, some versions say, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us, which means to trap us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Basically, this is what it says. We have this great crowd of examples to follow, people who have obeyed the standards, who have lived the example for us. They didn't change the ball. They didn't change the bat. They didn't change anything. They just got up and played the game the way the standard said to. So therefore, when you get up to the plate, keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on Jesus, who pioneered and perfected our faith. He started it and he perfected it. He didn't leave a little blank page at the end that says, and if you decide to change the rules, please write them here. Nope, apparently he put a lot of maps and stuff in the back. And because of the joy that lay before him, his joy was to see creation have a right relationship with him. And because that joy lay before him, he endured the cross. We are part of what brought him joy. Just the thought of us having a right relationship with him brought him joy. And because of his joy, he was beaten and he was crucified. Because that's what had to be done. He did it to perfect our faith. He did it to offer us a way to have a right relationship with him. God the Father. He did it out of love for you and for me. But we have to transform our thinking to the likeness of Christ. We have to start to think the way he would have wanted us to think. We have to start to follow the standards that are laid before us in Scripture. Well, I don't know them. Well, there's books everywhere. I have several versions in my office. If you want one, I'll give it to you. If it means that you'll know what the standards are and that you can play by the standards. We cannot be Jesus. We can't be perfect like him. but we can strive to be like him by using the standard he set for us. Whether we're new in our faith, or we're 30 plus years in our faith, or 60 plus years in our faith, we're all using the same standard. We're not changing the plate. As our musicians get ready to do the invitation, and as the music starts, I want you to think about how we transform our mind. So one thing about baseball is if you buy a brand new baseball glove, you can't half move it. If it's made out of that nice pristine leather, it's really hard to squeeze. I bought this glove, I guess about 3 months ago, and the first thing I did was I took and I oiled it. So you get this cool stuff called break-in oil. That's a secret formula by Rawlings. You put it on a soft cloth, and you just rub it. Nothing complicated, right? You just cover it, and then you start to work it. And maybe you even take and you try to form it. This is my Little League glove, but there's a ball in there, and it's got a wrap so that it holds the shape and it develops the pocket. And eventually, the glove works the way it's supposed to. Y'all seeing the correlation here? When we first accept Jesus as Savior, we're not a brand new broken glove. We might be stiff. It might be hard because of those old tendencies that are so easy. And you know what's really easy? To throw it to the side and go buy one used that's already been broke in. That's not what God wants of us. He doesn't want us just to throw it off to the side. Y'all can go ahead and start. You got me, Russell. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Oh, we're back on with that one. Not sure what happened. All right, we'll keep that there. First, we have to decide to play game. We have to decide we're going to play ball. But second, we have to work. We have to be broken in. We have to do what it takes to become more like Christ. Not just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, forgive me, and be done. It takes oiling. It takes working the glove. It takes using the glove to break it in. If you've never committed your life to Christ, let today be the day you decide to play for his team and under his standards. This is my Little League glove, well broken in. Had it since I was probably 11 years old, which means it's about 26 years old. And my hope one day is that I can hand this off to Nealon. He may not use it, but he'll know that that was Daddy's glove. And that Daddy worked hard to break it in. And maybe one day he'll hand it off to his kid. It takes a lot of work to break in the glove, but you have to apply the effort to get it where it needs to be. It's going to take a lot of work for you to get to the point where you're thinking and acting like Christ, to where the world no longer conforms your thinking, but you are transformed by the change that God has made within you. Hopefully one day you can pass on what you have learned through your years of following Jesus to your children. I don't know where you are in your faith today, but I do know that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. So over the next few minutes, I want you to think, are you a broken glove? Are you playing from the 17-inch plate, or have you bought a smaller one or a bigger one to make it easier on you? Are you trying to conform God's will for your life to your will, or are you trying to conform your will for your life to the will God has for you? So over the next couple minutes, just take that time to reflect, and maybe you have a decision you need to make. If you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you need to do business with God right where you are, do that. But don't walk out of here operating from the wrong standards. when we first accept Christ as Savior, we start out like a brand new baseball. In Major League, they have a guy whose job is to break in the baseball. He sits back there, he takes dirt or whatever it is, and he just starts to work the baseball to give it more grip for the pitcher so that it has a better grip and he can throw it better. And that's how we start out in our faith. We start out like a brand new baseball. And through years of working and playing, sometimes we're going to wind up looking like this at the end. Scars, stains. I had one the other day where the semen split. And that's what life does to us. But nonetheless, it's still a baseball. 9 inches in circumference, 5 ounces in weight. The standard. At no point did it stop being a baseball. It may have went from being a game ball to a practice ball, but practice balls help our kids learn to catch, helps our kids learn to hit, helps our kids learn to pitch, helps our kids learn to follow the standards. Game balls are used for, well, in the game. What are you doing to help develop your faith, to transform the way you're thinking, so that you don't just stay a game ball in a plastic wrapper or a stiff glove on the shelf, or that's stopping you from even stepping to the plate? A few announcements before we go. One big announcement. You may have seen the email earlier this week. I need a female chaperone for the youth mission trip. Without a female chaperone, by Caswell's rules, I cannot take a group that has females in it without a female chaperone. So, if you're interested, the week of July 4th through the 10th, let me know. I need to kind of make a decision on that pretty quick. So, if you would like to help chaperone that trip, let me know. Birthdays. Monday, Lynn Price will be turning 18. Wednesday, Peggy Nelson's birthday. Thursday, Taiwo Andy, I think I pronounced that right. Saturday, Grayson Bayliff, and next Sunday, Cindy Lombardo. Monday, anniversaries, we have Patsy and Kim Bendigo, Tanya and Stan Krupp, and then Wednesday, we have Lisa and Kurt Gross will be celebrating their anniversary. So if you see them, give them a hug, a big happy birthday, whatever you need to do, happy anniversary. I want us to leave here today with the idea that the plate doesn't change, but that we can. And if we're going to live like Christ, we have to. So take that with you today. I was going to do like hitting from the tee during the sermon, but I thought somebody might get hurt and then I might get fired and that probably wouldn't be good. I thought about throwing a baseball to somebody, but I don't know your skill level yet. And, you know, I don't need you leaving with a black eye. So, yeah, don't change the plate. Operate by the standard that Christ has set for us. I'll pray, and then we will be dismissed. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. God, I thank you for the game of baseball because it's pretty fun and pretty awesome. God, but most of all, I thank you that you've set a standard to which I can live my life by, a standard that allows you to work in my life, which allows you to use me to reach other people. God, may we all leave here today knowing that you've set the standard and that we just need to start reading the book and applying the things we read to our lives. God, be with all of those who need our prayers right now, families who have lost loved ones, families who are traveling that journey right now, those who are sick, those who aren't with us. God, we just pray that you keep them safe. God, most of all, may we be a church that adheres to your standards, that sticks to the standards, and doesn't change it just to make it easier on the world. God, we love you and praise you. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.